This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Wednesday, the 4th of August. Might be a day to remember. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me in the studio, as usual, is
Frida Liu. There are many days to remember in this country.
It seems to be. On the show today, we are going to be talking about bad bosses.
Should we hold disrespectful leaders and managers accountable for their actions? A poll happening on Twitter and Instagram. Options on Twitter is yes, confront them. Yes, report them. No, it's normal. Or no, too scared. We also like to hear what you have to say over WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
We're also hearing news that there will be a special address by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin sometime within the hour. So we'll take you straight to that once the feed comes in. We're hearing it's supposed to start at about 12:30. We'll keep you posted on that as well. But yes, we are talking about this today following a recent viral video showing a leader openly swearing at and interrupting one of his employees at a town hall. And so we decided we'd take a look at the signs of a bad boss, as well as how leaders should really behave themselves. And when caught in the act, how should you approach damage control?
So yes, I think we've all seen that video circulating online on Instagram, Twitter and Reddit showing a certain CEO insulting a female employee during an online town hall session. The female employee in question is a senior manager and was answering a question when the CEO interrupted her saying, "What's your beep question? Come on." The female employee then explained herself and he interjected once again with, "What's your question? Come on, don't talk a lot, too much to talk." The CEO also told the female employee to shut up when she started speaking in Thai. Throughout this whole interaction, other leaders in the town hall were seen laughing and smirking, maybe uncomfortably, but silently in the background.
Yeah. So now, while the company has claimed to have a zero tolerance policy towards such behavior, as well as a supposed internal apology for the incident, the company still came under fire from netizens, of course. One Twitter user called this behavior disappointing, adding that leadership is not just about driving results, but also about doing no harm to individuals, either physically or emotionally. Hear, hear. Meanwhile, some also criticized the others on the call for smiling or laughing. You know, like you said earlier, Frida, you know, maybe uncomfortably, saying it was disgraceful, despicable, and absolutely incomprehensible and vile. Quite strong words there. They also pointed out that this is not how things should be in any corporate environment, and that the CEO should have apologized the moment they spoke those words. What is also unhelpful is how other prominent leaders in the company continued to defend the incident, citing work pressure and also claims that the video was edited as potential reasons for the bad impression and behavior in the video.
So how do you tell that you yourself could be a bad boss? According to an article from Fast Company, here are some important questions to ask yourself to determine if you're among those who suffer from BBS, bad boss syndrome. So does your entire team walk on eggshells? Nearly every working adult has experienced a boss who instilled anxiety and fear across their teams. Whether their behavior was marked by rage, insecurity, or general negativity, employees responded by trying not to trigger their bosses. Unfortunately, this creates a toxic environment where employees feel they have to hide in the shadows because they're simply too afraid to speak up. Is it hard to keep good employees around? There's an old adage that says employees don't leave companies, they leave bad bosses. A bad boss is one of the top reasons people leave their positions. Furthermore, an employee will sometimes quit abruptly if they finally reach their breaking point.
Right.
Now, is your success all about you? Challenging bosses may be guilty of taking all the credit for any company milestones or successes and forget to recognize the contributions of the employees. Employees can sense when they're not appreciated, which causes resentment, especially since they too are contributing their gifts and talents to the company's performance.
So, this article from Fast Company also gives us some tips to redirect yourself if you suffer from BBS. If you answered yes to any of the questions that Frida just covered, there is a cure. In fact, your experience with bad bosses can actually help you be a better and more caring boss. You know, for example, if you had a bad boss, you can go out of your way to treat your team differently, send personalized gifts, or be more empathetic about personal time, commit to making everyone feel safe and appreciated, focus on performance and results, not baseless performativity with no real passion. Now, a toxic boss experience may be beneficial in that it could inspire you to want to be better for others, you know, when it's your turn to lead, right? After all, when you treat your talent with appreciation and respect, you will have a much better chance at hiring and retaining great employees who can provide you with a productive workplace for the years to come.
Mm. So, yeah, this was very interesting, even though he said it was edited and, you know, in this case, right? And if it was edited, that's really, really also...
maybe that's not cool as well.
Not cool.
I mean, it was the context.
Right. It was wrong for the CEO to have spoken up, but if the bigger boss had spoken up, that
would have been ideal.
That would have been ideal. So we don't know what the real situation is. But it is still not right.
And it's also just alarming that this is happening in this day and age. It's being allowed to happen
in a town hall.
Yes, a virtual town hall online that was, you know, broadcast to everyone. Right?
In the 500 people was in this meeting, and you know, and not to have the presence of mind. Because I mean, there are also some people who would just be speaking like this one on one. Not that it's right.
Yes.
But then to have no qualms that this was wrong.
Yeah, so what is actually happening during those one-on-ones, you know?
I'm just thinking now.
Right, we are talking about bad bosses today. Should we hold disrespectful leaders or managers accountable for their action? And if so, how? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. When we come back, we'll have an expert talk to us about her thoughts on this issue and, you know, just how common is this sort of behavior in Malaysia or in Asia in general. All that and more coming up. Also, like we mentioned earlier, we're waiting on a special address by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. We will take you to that feed as soon as that starts. But for now, here's Power Man by The Kinks. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about disrespectful leaders.
Right. So we've got a poll happening. Should we hold disrespectful leaders, managers accountable for their actions? Leading at yes, report them, 49.6%. Yes, confront them, 44.8%. No, it's normal at 2.8%. And no, too scared. 2.8%.
Right. We have a couple of messages that have come in. Let's go to WhatsApp.
Okay. So here is from Stephen Ho. He says, it depends on the company culture. If the organization proactively encourages respectful workplace environment, then I would just report to HR myself. Mm. But if the organization is closing one eye on this issue, then probably I would bring it up on LinkedIn or social media without naming anyone or any party, but just sharing my experience and how an ideal organization should run, like any other motivating story on LinkedIn. Siapa makan cili dia rasa pedas, and we should never tolerate bad behavior at work. We've got one here from Ro. He said, I once had a boss who wasn't the boss who hired me. He kind of entered through the back door and just took over. Quite soon after, we had a crisis at work, and because he wasn't properly appointed, he and his new hires made such a mess. Everything went from bad to worse. I think he's since changed his name. I'm so sorry for experience, Ro.
Yeah, that sounds like a really sticky, messy situation. Don't envy your position there. We've got one here from Sugenter who says, record quarterly performance and vote on their initiatives or ideas brought up in Parliament. Yeah, so speaking of Parliament, we hear that there will be a live address from Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin in just a bit. It's supposed to come in at about 12:30. We'll be bringing you straight to that feed as soon as that comes in. But till then, we are talking about bad bosses today. Mm. And, you know, this is following a recent viral video showing a leader openly swearing at and interrupting one of his employees at a town hall. So we thought we'd take a look at the signs of a bad boss, as well as how leaders should really behave themselves. And when caught in the act, how should you approach damage control? And we have on the line with us right now, Deepa George, Managing Consultant at HR Clinic. And we thought we'd get her thoughts on this issue. Deepa, thank you for joining us. Now, just to play devil's advocate for a second, what could possibly justify any leader using profanity against, insulting or interrupting their employees?
Okay, so firstly, I'm not sure anything can really justify this kind of behavior. So I wouldn't say that we can condone that or excuse it. However, there might be some explanations or reasons behind it, right? And in my sort of experience, again, just, you know, talking about what I've seen, I feel that a lot of the cultural nuances is one. So depending, you know, where these individuals maybe have brought up, that's a norm in their society or the community to use it the such language quite flippantly. It's also a normalization of behavior that they've seen in past organizations, or dare I say, what they've seen in their leaders. So if their leaders themselves have used such language or done such behavior, it's very common to interrupt, and you know, it's quite everyone talks over each other kind of an environment they've been used to. They probably think that's quite normal. And so, you know, it's nothing terribly extraordinary, or they didn't do anything terribly bad. Again, not excusing it or condoning it, but it's a possible explanation. Mm. And more often than not, I think these individuals themselves have not taken offense when it happened to them. Mm. So if they have, probably they think, well, if I can be thick-skinned about it, why can't these individuals do the same? So that's right. Probably one of the explanations.
Okay. So Deepa, from your experience, how common is this sort of behavior in Malaysia or throughout Asia in general, and why?
So again, we can't really generalize. I think we've seen it in some companies we'd expect to see it, and some where we think it's not as normal or not expected of that type of organizations or industry. So in multinationals, I think a lot of it is dependent on what the tone at the top is. Because if the tone at the top doesn't condone such thing, he or she does not use profanity, does not interrupt, they have a culture that's quite... they put their money where their mouth is when they say everybody has that value, right? We respect each other. We work with integrity. Well, here's an opportunity for you to really practice what you preach. And for that reason, I think it's really important that the role modeling from the top starts. And, you know, mistakes might happen, and that's for sure, right? In any one of these cases, mistakes happen. But how do they deal with such things is really important. So the level of cultural acceptance might be one of those. So at multinationals, it depends on how the tone at the top starts, because then it cascades throughout. And then in local companies, I've also seen this, but more, I guess, in terms of the harsh approach. They might use profanities. It's just that the words they use might be in local languages, local dialects, and so on. Sometimes it's not the harsh words, it's the tone. So in local companies, what I've seen is a lot of shouting, a lot of banging the table kind of moments. So in some cases, what I've seen is what is said in terms of the profanities. And sometimes it's a case of how it's said. So they might say something that's completely sensible sentence, but in a shouting tone, and almost humiliating manner. And either way, that's insulting, and we shouldn't tolerate that, of course.
Right. I've heard this, right? It's not the words, it's the music. Okay. Now, what kind of business is this kind of behavior more commonly found in, Deepa? Does the size of the company affect the potential frequency of this sort of conduct?
Not really a big difference in terms of business or industries, although I have seen it more prevalent in a particular type of industry, which is those who are labor intensive or more blue collar workers. Right. And maybe the only reason I can think of is, you know, it's very highly discipline driven. And so the authority sort of dictates the requirements to the team and needs to be quite harsh in their tone. But that being said, these industries typically also have unions to hopefully protect the employee rights. Mm. In terms of the size of organization, I haven't really seen a difference. But there is a difference I noticed when it comes to the mix of demographics based on gender. So when there are more women around, or at least an equal or close to equal balance, everybody tends to toe the line, and everybody feels a little bit more sensitive in terms of the type of language used. So that seems to help, even though it might be more indirect.
Right. Now, Deepa, what do you think other leaders in a company should do if or when an incident like this happens?
Well, very simple. It's the, you know, classic saying that's come out recently, right? When you see something, say something. And it applies for any kind of, unacceptable behavior. So the first thing I would like to suggest is obviously for other leaders to call it out. If it doesn't sit well, especially with against your corporate values and what you're trying to inculcate as a culture within the company, please do call it out. And I know people, there are many comments to say, oh no, but how could you do that? You know, the saying, you praise in public, reprimand in private. Absolutely. But we're talking about those situations where the feedback is to the individual about themselves. In this case, you need to call it out in public, because it's feedback to the individual who used such unacceptable behavior against another party. And so everybody in the situation should see that that kind of behavior is not tolerated. You're not reprimanding them for their own bad presentation, their own thing which could have humiliated themselves. There was a larger effect, and I think there is a need to call that out, because all bets are off in terms of reprimanding in private when this individual has just humiliated a colleague in front of everyone else.
Right. And what action should be taken against the figure who acts in such a way? Is this a case of simple warning, or something that could escalate to potential termination?
I guess that really depends on the organization and the powers that be within the company. So what sort of message do you want to send to your employees, to your customers, to your stakeholders? You know, in this, some cases, these kind of situations go public. Then my question really is there remorse on the part of the company and the individual concerned because it got found out and because it got told versus the action they actually committed, right? So that's the ultimate test of integrity, doing the right thing when nobody is watching. So the action that you need to take to this individual also depends, of course, on the frequency of their behavior. If it is something that has been condoned all the time, and back to my point earlier, it's just that this time it was made a little bit more public and people got to know about it, then the organization and the powers within need to really look at themselves to see how come we've tolerated this. And now when we see it back, we realize that this is not something we can condone. So whether it's a warning, whether it's a show cause, you know, whether it goes all the way up to termination depends, of course, on the frequency, the magnitude of the actions, and the type of message you want to send to the organization.
And how should a company respond internally after an incident like this, Deepa?
I guess first and foremost, admit it was a mistake, apologize for that, and also admit for the other leaders around that it was overlooked in terms of what they should have done at that immediate time. Right, it could have been handled better. For example, soon after that particular situation happened, there could have been an apology, you know, and back to the point of whether this apology and remorse is shared because they got publicized versus it happened. These are two very different things. Whatever it is, I would suggest not to rationalize it or to try and explain it. It just ends up sounding very defensive. So make sure we just apologize for that, admit that. And if you're going to make sure it doesn't happen again, stay on brand, stay true to your values. Otherwise, as the saying goes, practice what you preach, otherwise change your speech. I really like that one.
Right. Yes. What a concept, right? Apologize. Deepa, and how should a company respond externally if and when an incident like this makes its way out for public knowledge?
Yeah.
I would say do exactly the same thing. Mm. You need to admit your mistakes, apologize for that behavior, and, you know, really call it out if you say you don't condone it. And now that it's come to light, you admit it could have been handled better. Talk a little bit about course correction. Don't rationalize it because you'll end up sounding really, you know, again, defensive. And make sure that that incident doesn't become a representation of your brand. So start working through active interventions to ensure that these incidents don't happen again. What you don't want to happen is a mismatch of your brand. Like there was a talk show host in the past who was talking about externally to their viewers about being compassionate and kind. And then an internal whistleblower said, but this individual is nasty to the team and the colleagues within. And that became a big problem and their value diminished. So what you don't want is that to happen. If you say that's a value within your organization, these mistakes happen. Every company has this. It is not a representation of the entire company. So let's just get on with it, admit it, correct it, and move forward.
Right. Thank you so much for that, Deepa. That, of course, was Deepa George, Managing Consultant at HR Clinic.
Right. We've got a comment here from Kwong. It says, in any organizations, the slogan leading by example itself is proof that bosses should be. But there is a price to pay many times because most bosses want yes men only until and unless we can be mature or develop in our education.
Right. Well, you still have some time to get in touch with us. Should we hold disrespectful leaders or managers accountable for their actions? If so, how? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. Like we mentioned earlier, we are waiting for news. We hear there will be a special address by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, and we will patch you straight into that feed as soon as it starts. But for now, here's a little music by the Beatles. This is Revolution. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.